the most common response is, I need more leads. But if we truly tracked every lead in a CRM, we would see that you actually have more than enough leads. In fact, you might have too many leads, which is why you're not closing at the rates you need to close at. And so that's a conversation that doesn't happen enough a lot in a lot of sales organizations. It's always, we need more leads. And if we can be efficient with that, I've told clients you could spend less and make more.
Hey, law firm owners, welcome to the Your Practice Mastered podcast. We're your hosts. I'm MPS.
And I'm Richard James. MPS, I think you got an important disclaimer you need to cover before we go any further.
Yeah, look, if you guys like this content, make sure you hit that subscribe or follow button, depending on wherever you're listening or watching, and we promise to give you some valuable insight, just like today. So, Rich, why don't you let us in on some insight with our guest for today?
We're here with Elliot, and Elliot's with Empirical 360. He and his brother founded this company. We found each other a few years ago, maybe the beginning at COVID, and we started to have a conversation. And then the other day, we hit each other up, and we're like, we should really revisit the conversation. And you and me and Elliot jumped on a call together. And what we instantly recognized is that we are aligned in the way that we think about what law firms really should be producing. And the answer to that question is profitability. And so, Elliot, you even have a t-shirt that talks about this, don't you?
Yeah. We have a t-shirt that says EBITDA, which is just a fancy word for profit. It's all about what are you taking home?
I love it. I'm disappointed you didn't wear the t-shirt. I'll be straight with you.
I honestly looked at it this morning and I'm like, should I wear it? You know what? I'm going to look professional today. I'll wear it on another one.
Fair enough. We'll have you back. You can wear it again. So, Michael, why don't you lead us off and let's go in the direction you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to talk about that topic today because it's something we don't often see from marketing agencies. So it's nice and refreshing to see a marketing agency that takes a different approach and perspective to this. But I want to give the listener, Elliot, an opportunity to learn a little bit more about who you are. What's something that maybe not everybody knows about you?
Not something everybody knows, business related or not business related?
Whatever you'd like.
I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and so that's always fun. I'm very achy, so if you see me cracking my neck on this call, that's why. So that's an unknown.
That's cool. All right. So you would have us tap out. I get it. I understand. I tried jiu-jitsu once. It is a whole different style of martial arts. And
Oh, yeah.
Michael, I think you tried. If I'm not mistaken, you and Justin, your brother, went to it. Wasn't it that football player in Phoenix? Was it Westbrook? Was that
Westbrook.
His name?
Yeah, Westbrook.
And he was a jiu-jitsu master, and you guys took his lessons. I don't know. What did you think about it?
It's tough. I think it's super valuable. It's fun to learn, but it's tough. Yeah. It's probably one of the toughest out of all of them, in my opinion.
It's tough, and it's cool because in jiu-jitsu, you get humbled like business. You get beat up for the first couple of years like business. And so if you can grind through either of those two things, you can hopefully come out the other end is usually how it goes. So there's a lot of parallels there, and you feel it a lot in jiu-jitsu because you're literally getting beat up. In business, it's not as bad. Emotionally, it's tough, but it's just a fun experience to see the parallels.
Yeah, I love that because it is a great parallel for that person, that law firm owner that's listening right now that's maybe either they're sitting there doing $500 or $1 million and they're not profitable. And they're like, we got their ears to perk up because we talked about profitability. Or maybe they're just trying to figure out how to get started. And they're at the end of a 75-hour string on the week. And they're just picked up this video by seeing an ad on Facebook or something. They jump to the podcast and here they're giving it a listen. And the message to them is the good news is if you keep up with the grind, there is a payoff at the end, right? The other thing I think is a great lesson from jiu-jitsu, although I'm not an expert by any means, but tell me if I'm wrong, jiu-jitsu is about leverage. Am I right? It doesn't matter your size necessarily. It's all about leverage. Is that correct?
Exactly. A little, you get humbled in there just like you do in business and you walk in and when the 100-pound girl beats you and you're a 200-pound guy, you're like, how is this possible? Right. And they're outmaneuvering with technique. Just like a small law firm can outmaneuver a big law firm with the right technique. So there's so many cool parallels. And if unless you're like into jiu-jitsu, you can't talk about it too much. You're like, you're weird. But yeah, absolutely. The leverage is a huge component, the technique and leverage.
I love it. That's a great example because we're all about leverage around here. MPS?
Oh, we're all about leverage. Finding those levers and leveraging those levers and then using that to make some magic happen. Elliot, I'm curious. Talk us through the journey a little bit. How'd you get started with Empirical 360 and how law firm owners?
Yeah. Eric, my brother, he's a co-founder. He was the marketing director at 18 years old at a car warranty call center. So all those annoying calls you get, that was probably us. And he built out the Google Ads program there, and we got to spending around $1 million a month in Google Ads. So we learned really fast with a lot of money, and we made every mistake you could make until we didn't make as many. But what was cool is we got to experience the dynamic between sales and marketing and how tiny adjustments on your dial rate or your connection rate could have massive impacts on the profitability of the business. And that was actually our first run-in with profitability. That company sold products that we were like, guys, the rates here don't make a lot of sense. But we were young, so they didn't take us seriously, which was fine. Time told us that you got to really pay attention to those profitability things, or don't chase the quick cash if it doesn't make sense long term. And so that spun off into us doing insurance marketing because we were working with call centers, which led into medical. We had some lawyer clients in the beginning that were always good clients, but we didn't pay attention to them. Should this be our niche? And then a few years in, we were like, you know what? Lawyers seem to be the best. They have the ambition of an insurance agent with the professionalism of a doctor or a spine surgeon, which is who we used to work with. And we were like, Dad, these are cool people. And everybody's like, what? You work with lawyers? I'm like, they're the nicest, coolest people typically. Go work with a surgeon and then we'll talk. But that just led us to going all in on attorneys. And we never looked back, honestly. COVID ramped that up a lot. We had a lot of success with family law firms and litigation firms and bankruptcy firms during that period. It was just, you guys know, it exploded during COVID for a lot of firms. Some firms, unfortunately, it didn't, but a lot of firms it did. And we were lucky enough to ride that wave. So one thing led to another.
Yeah. Practice area specific is a very important conversation. We have all of our clients raise their hand and say, my business is not different than yours, because fundamentally the moving parts are the same, but there are some macroeconomics that did affect practice areas, and family law went up and bankruptcy because the government said, you don't have to pay your bills, you don't have to pay your debts, you don't have to pay your student loans. People got a lot of reprieve. And oh, by the way, they mailed them checks. So people got free money. So we got free money, businesses got PPP money, and people didn't have to pay their bills. So bankruptcy really went down for a very long period of time.
But it became so competitive though, right? Like the cost per lead, just like they were scrounging. And I was like, guys, this is tough. This is a tough one.
But it was, is that the good ones who worked with companies like yours, who could figure out how to generate them a lead, didn't pay as much to the cost per lead as they did to the cost per client acquisition. And then they learned how to pull the levers, as Michael said, figuring out how to maximize their set rate, how to maximize their show rate, how to maximize their hire rate, how to maximize the client value. To your point, let's not try to sell $995 bankruptcies, right? Because that's not going to get us to where we need to be. We need to be selling a Chapter 7 at the right number. And so anyway, practice area by practice area, these little side conversations need to happen. But the fundamentals are always the same, that what you have to do is you have to be able to learn how to generate leads consistently at a rate that makes sense. And then you have to convert those leads over to the next layers that we call the perfect client lifecycle of getting an appointment to set, getting them the show, getting them to retain the firm, getting them to pay their bill in full at a rate that makes sense and allows for profitability. And when you can get all that to match, you open up another can of worms that is a problem, which is now you got to get the work done, which, you know, that's another issue. But as long as we're starting off profitably, we can actually make some moves in the right direction. And so I appreciate that. And I love that you fell in love with working with attorneys, because I did too. I didn't work with attorneys. I didn't even know what an attorney did, if I was honest, back in 2008, right? Because I'd never been in their world. And so when I stepped into their world and I got my first introduction to them, I'm like, oh, these are just like business people that don't really know how to run a business, right? For a lot of aspects. But look at the good work that they do. How could we help them do more of the good work? And that became a passion of mine. Let's find business owners who chose law as their business who want to learn more about running a small business so that they can serve more families and help them in their deepest, darkest moments. And that really has been my passion for the last 15 years. And Michael, MPS, you've been helping them on, really started helping them on pulling that one specific lever, which was converting more leads during the consultation. But enough about us, Michael. Let's break back into Elliot. Where do you want to go from here?
I want to focus a little bit on this conversation of profitability from a marketing agency's perspective. So Elliot, my question is, what do you feel is the number one mistake law firms make when it comes to their profitability from a marketing perspective? Where do they seem to go wrong?
I could think of a lot of things there. I'll start with the easiest one. And that is, we need more leads when we have inefficiencies in the acquisition cycle, and mainly around that sales tracking component. I can't tell you how many firms I've come into where the data was so messy. And I don't mean that to be insulting, but so much waste is happening. And the most common response is, I need more leads. Mm. But if we truly tracked every lead in a CRM, we would see that you actually have more than enough leads. In fact, you might have too many leads, which is why not closing at the rates you need to close at. And so that's a conversation that doesn't happen enough a lot in a lot of sales organizations. It's always, we need more leads. And if we can be efficient with that, I've told clients you could spend less and make more. It's truly so fun to manipulate those numbers on the sales side of things. That's a big one. The other one is we have to do all the things when it comes to marketing. And it's very easy to hit seven or even multiple seven figures with a single source of leads. And what I like about that is predictability. I know that when this lead comes in, it's going to set at this rate. It's going to show at this rate. It's going to close at this rate. I don't need TikTok yet. I don't need Facebook yet. I don't need SEO in some cases yet, right? If you don't have the time to wait for that slow burn, maybe it's not the right time for that smaller law firm. And I can't tell you how many people I've told that to, and they look at me like I'm crazy. So those are two big areas where we put out a lot of cash on marketing when that cash could be sitting in our pockets, honestly. And if we focus on closing, we could have more cash in our pockets and still get away with the marketing we're doing. So that's a couple of them. I think of other things where we've always hired a little slower in our company because we made mistakes in early on where we staffed up too much or we bought a really cool office and a really cool coffee machine. I think a lot of waste happens there where we try and keep up with the Joneses or the people on social media. I got to have this awesome office and I got to have a really cool custom logo that cost me 10,000 bucks. And we did that. And early on when Eric and I were making $1 million, we were spending $1 million. And then COVID hit and we're like, we have no money. What do we do now? So we still had a lot of good revenue, but we had to make really hard choices. So I don't like overextending myself too much. It's a risk tolerance. It's a personal thing. But those are my three buckets, I would say. For attorneys specifically, the waste around lots of leads. They have tons of leads. Such a high demand practice. Any one of the practice areas, there's so much abundance out there. But it's usually internal that they can get a lot of wins for profitability.
Wow. Like three of the biggest buckets there are, right? So we'll put the first one under giving you more leads would be a sin. We'll put the second one under the idea that I'm going to actually go to the third one. You should save your way to solvency and sell your way to success. Save your way to solvency. Make sure you control your expenses. And we'll put the third one under, which is the second one that you said, which is stop chasing the bright and shiny object. Let's master one discipline and do it over and over again and keep getting more and more results and keep investing and going deep on that particular source. So we can unpack all three of those together, but do you feel like that's an accurate summary? Did I get that right, MPS?
I think you said Elliot, it better than I did, sorry, unfortunately. I think you said it better than me, like I said. So.
No, I don't know about better, just different. So it's just a different view. MPS, do you think I hit that summary correct?
Yeah, I did. And I want to touch on that first one. So here's my thought on that first one, which is that we need more leads. If we're being honest, if a firm is working with a marketing agency, I think the reason that becomes the go-to is because that's easy. It's easy to do. It's easy to go to your marketing agency and say, hey, we need more leads. And if you've got the funds to do it, it's real easy to just allocate the money there. It's not as easy in some cases to fix the conversion metrics. So we look for the easy path. And I think that's what a lot of law firms do, good, bad, or indifferent. It's what a lot of them do. And so they think the easy path to growth is get more leads. We're good to go. Really, I'd say that's actually pretty harmful. Rich, what do you think about that? Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Adjusting for easy is like the name of the game for a lot of people. Now let's take some of them off the hook because sure. Running a business is hard. Running a law firm sometimes feels impossible. So most law firm owners were not given business training, and those who were given business training forgot that they were supposed to use that in their own business. And almost all of them started by being the technician, the practitioner. And so all the work that comes through falls on them. And then they have to deal with the opposing counsel, the judge or the trustee or whatever court system that they're in. They got to deal with the clients and all the communication and demands the clients have while they're panicking through these difficult situations. So it's just save a drowning person, right? They're fighting you the whole way. And then on top of all of that, they got to manage whatever team members they have. They've got to manage the vendors that they have. They've got to manage the lead flow. They've got to figure out how to manage the phones. And some of them just get so inundated with the first couple that they never get to the latter. And then they wonder why they are where they are. And it's just because they're drowning in their own busyness, right? And so optimizing for easy is really a sense of survival, because they can't imagine another rock. Elliot, I imagine you see firms all the time where you feel if you throw them one more thing to do, it's the rock that's going to sink them, they feel like. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, go revamp your sales process. Like, what? Or go get your site redone. It's just too much, especially if they have everything else that's going on.
It's interesting. So the truth that they believe is true is that if they hold on to, if they get have to do one more thing, they're going to sink. But this is very much the story of the person who's mining for gold, who is literally just inches from the gold vein, and they quit. And this is where you talked about in the beginning with jiu-jitsu, that it was years of frustration and grinding it out, and finally you get to the win. And that's really what this is. Lawyers a lot of times either haven't been told anything and they figured it out on their own, or they've been told bad information by companies who don't have their best interest at heart. And so they've been fixing all of the wrong things, and they've been optimizing for easy now. And what really has to happen is just that one more carburetor adjustment that's going to start to set them free. Let me give this a mathematical calculation to keep it really simple. I know a lot of attorneys don't like math. This is just going to be arithmetic, folks. No calculus here. So generally speaking, when you have a firm that's converting leads into clients, if you just looked at it macroly and you said, okay, I get X number of qualified leads and I get Y number of clients. If I just divide the number of clients by the number of leads, I get a percentage. Many firms who are just in the business of buying more leads are converting less than 10% of those leads into paying clients. Would you agree with that, Elliot?
Yep.
Now, I don't know if you have a healthy number. What in your mind is a healthy number of percentage of leads you'd like to see them convert into clients? Percentage of qualified leads you'd like to see them convert into clients?
Yeah. So for qualified, I have a better answer for just overall lead flow, because that's what I'll visualize a lot for clients. But if it can be in most practice areas, just 10%, which I believe is a easy to hit number. Think about just 10 people walking into your office and saying, hey, I want your help. Can you close one of those?
Right.
That will lead to very high amounts of profitability. You're talking typically 10x return on your media spend. If you throw in organic sources in there, it can be significantly higher. And that's on lower case values typically reported, because some of these things can be worth quite a bit of money. So 10% is the bare minimum to insane success. You'll have other problems. Like you said, if you're doing that, you'll have other problems.
Yeah. And so I don't disagree with you. I think it does depend on case value and practice area and things of that nature. But
yep,
let's say 10% is the bare minimum. I will tell you, Michael, what is the highest that you've seen as percentage of overall lead flow conversion when you get it?
I've seen upwards of 30 to 40% in some cases. That's fully optimized. That's getting it right. And as you just said, Elliot, if 10% is a good threshold, 30 to 40% is exceptional, right?
Yeah. I've seen a firm do that, one firm in particular, and got to eight figures insanely fast. It's truly, and it always sounds pie in the sky, but it's a money printer if you can close at 20 and 30%. I've seen a handful of firms do it, and they're just exceptional.
Yeah, that's our goal. Michael's goal has always been, can we get you in the 20s, right?
So yeah, it's amazing.
We put 15 as our bottom line threshold. You have 10. I can make it work at 10, depending, but 15, I can make it work for everybody. 20 really starts to hum. Some get to 25, few get to 30, 30 plus. And there's a lot of factors there. But look, if I go all the way back to the firm that I built in 2009, 10, 11, 12, 60% of the gross sales that we received came from people who originally said, no, I don't want to set an appointment. No, I don't want to show to appointment. No, I don't want to hire. 60% of our sales came from people who originally said no. So if I was to give a firm one fix, like, yeah, there's lots of things to fix in the sales funnel. What I would think I would say to them is, how about we just fix your follow-up? Just fix your follow-up with the leads that aren't converting right now. Let's put some sort of system in place. We know there are lots of them available to us. We have mail, direct mail, email, text messaging, phone calls, right? We have multiple ways to fix our follow-up, Facebook or social media messaging and things of that nature. But let's pick one and get really good at it and just start to fix the follow-up. Elliot, if your firms that you worked with just fix their follow-up, if nothing else, fix their follow-up, do you think that they would see an improvement in their overall lead conversion?
Absolutely. That's usually that's low-hanging fruit. And to me, when that does happen, because I've seen it happen after we just said, hey, just go follow up, double. It could be double the sales. Correct. And if you just think about that from any firm, if you could just truly double by adding some process around that, it's crazy. And people always think it's exaggerated because we see so much clickbait, like double your firm, triple, quadruple your firm. So we get sensitive or numb to that. But literally just following up with leads could double your business. And I've seen it happen time and time again.
One of our EAY finalists that we'll be interviewing in a couple of weeks, Michael, James Housen, he was filing 5 cases a month in 2021. He's filed 45 cases last month. Think about that. That's a 9-bagger. Right? We're 9 times the size we were just 3 years ago. We don't get credit for that. He gets credit for that. But Michael, you would point to something else that worked in his firm that you think was the main key objective. What would that have been for you?
Not I think, I know, because he told us. And that was his non-attorney salesperson. He fixed his sales. He had an okay set rate. He had an okay show rate at the time, but hire rate wasn't great. And there were lots and lots of reasons for that. But he decided to take the leap, bring in a non-attorney salesperson, make sure that non-attorney salesperson was getting consistent training and had a structure to follow when they got in. And that non-attorney salesperson is now closing in the upwards of 80% and above for him. And since that's happened, the only thing they're capped by now is the ability to get people in quicker because appointments are booking up. So they're looking to bring in another non-attorney salesperson, right? So capacity. And so that's their only big cap at the moment. And so that was the pivotal point for them. That's what allowed them, going back to levers, that's the lever that they were able to pull, literally skyrocket growth. You talk about 9-bagger. Yeah, it was a 9-bagger in new clients. If you look at revenue, it was even more than a 9-bagger because they learned not only how to increase their hire rate, but they learned how to increase their case values while doing it. And yeah, that's a fun story.
Yeah. So Elliot, if you get somebody go from 30% close rate, maybe four, I don't know what it was, to an 80% close rate, and then go from a case value where they are now and double their case value, what does that do to profitability?
Oh my gosh. If you think about it, so this is the fun part with that story, right? Let's just say he had a cost of acquisition of $1,000. Everything on top of that, let's say you're spending $10,000. Let's say you're spending $1,000 a month on marketing, because you keep it just simple. Everything that you get by just optimizing, that cost of acquisition stays the same. And now for each client, it gets way lower. So maybe you had $1,000 cost of acquisition, got one client, but now you're getting 9. Right. Now your cost of acquisition is $100. The rest of that goes into your pocket, right? And then you increase your price and then that goes in your pocket. So like the levers, those are two just small levers, right? Non-attorney salesperson, increased price.
Yeah.
Potentially, I don't know the math, 5X in his pocket, who knows?
So here's the thing. So Michael and I all go to them. Okay, you fixed all this. Now go back to Elliot and his brother. They say, oh, we want to grow. Okay, now go back to Elliot and his brother and tell him instead of spending $1,000, you want to spend $5,000 or invest $5,000 a month, right? Because now you've got a system that could manage the machine that could manage converting those leads. And you guys will have all the confidence in saying, yeah, you're right. You do need more leads, right? You want to take over the world? Let's go. That's the power of this. And by the way, Michael, what was interesting is I said James Housen, he deserves credit, but it just hit me as you were saying it. Like Katonga Wright, she's another EAY finalist. Number one thing that she spouted off that can make her difference in conversion was non-attorney salesperson. Will and Kelly Grafton, another finalist, they were your very first client to hire a non-attorney salesperson. And you're the one who ran their non-attorney sales room in the beginning. And now they just got their most recent non-attorney salesperson. And again, converting at 8 out of 10, like 80% close rate. Jonathan Breeden, family law, he just started using non-attorney salespeople as well, took the leap, and he's touting that as a secret to the sauce. So what's the common thread in this? Non-attorney salespeople, right? I don't mean to be on my high horse about this, but every firm we see that willing to use a non-attorney salesperson, they close at such better rates than firms that use attorney salespeople. Is that right, Michael?
They kick their tails. Really not in comparison. Look, I always say, can you make attorney salespeople work? Yeah, you can make it work. Are you going to make it work as good as non-attorney salespeople? Absolutely not. I've done it too many times. And so non-attorney salespeople just significantly outperform. And yeah, it's been exciting to watch. And then the good news is, and you just unlocked a recipe there, is you will get to a point where getting you more leads is not a sin. It actually makes all the sense in the world. But that's after you've mastered your conversions. Once you actually have the system in place, where you can consistently depend on a set rate, a show rate, and a hire rate. Now, just throw gasoline on the fire, right? Now you can go to someone like Elliot and start to amplify your marketing spend because now it makes sense to do. Would you agree with that, Elliot?
Yeah, absolutely. Learn on the lead flow you have, or there are easy ways to get leads that are qualified where you don't have to put out tons of money and dial your metrics in. It's everything becomes easier. You solve acquisition at that point. Your problems are hiring more attorneys or hiring other people, right? Like that becomes the problem, which those are good problems to have. But right. It's amazing to see. And if you just think about what you guys said, right? An attorney didn't go to law school to sell. They don't like it, unless they do, in which case they're like a unicorn. Usually the founders can do it because it's their business and they have to. Right. But your other attorneys, they don't want to sell. Salespeople, let them go. Do your thing. It makes all the sense in the world. And the firms that scale, that do it at scale, all of them have non-attorney salespeople. Very rarely are you having attorneys coming in to bail them out. At scale, it's always the non-attorney salespeople.
So Elliot, look, you're a high performer. What do you do on a daily basis? What are some of your success habits that lead to the continued success for you guys?
We do jujitsu in the mornings, or we work very early, right? That nice quiet time of work. So one of those two things happens. Make sure to work a lot, honestly. We work because we love it. It's not one of those things where it's, oh my gosh, I'm working so much, but it's fun to solve these problems. And we just love driving that growth, whether it's our business or a client's business. You get to hear me, like I'm a nerd, right? I love the wheels turning of, man, I change your set rate and bam, you just doubled your business. So that's what we do all day. But as far as like outside of work, it's jujitsu, it's family, and then trying to get as much sleep as I can, which is tough these days. I got a 2-year-old, but the life right there, those are the success habits, really focused on driving our clients' results. That's the big thing.
I have a 4-month-old puppy, and the 4-month-old puppy actually sleeping through the night. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself because I'm not getting woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning anymore.
So puppies can be rough, especially because when they wake up, they're doing damage somewhere.
That's right. Exactly. Okay. So back to your wheelhouse. Real quick, so if you got a firm, so we talked about conversion. I want you to be able to work in your specialty a little bit here. I know that you get how to sell, you get how to convert, you get how to be profitable. But let's take a firm that is either not happy with their existing agency because they're not producing, or they don't even know where to start. Where do you start them? Again, because you said, let's not lose focus. Let's not try to five things. Let's master one thing. What do you want them to master first, marketing, to start generating leads or to increase generating leads?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love this because I'll tell you what a lot of agencies do. They will sell you everything all at once. And the reason for that is, just so you understand the agency model, is you're stickier. You'll stick longer if I do your website and I do everything for you. And then you don't leave and I make more money. And then I'll sell you SEO because that's a slower burn and you got to stay for 12 months. And the problem is that costs a lot of money. And so you spend all of your budget on the service and not the results. Mm. And what I tell people is you want to tier into your marketing. You want to make sure that you can close internet-based leads. Everyone can close referrals, right? Well, I shouldn't say everyone, but for the most part, you should do well with referrals. Can you close leads that don't know you like you trust you? A lot of attorneys can't. Not because they're not good salespeople. They just have holes in their bucket. Could be the show rate, could be the phones. You guys know that better than anybody. So what I tell people to do, if they're not ready to take that plunge and learn by paying an agency, the easiest way to do that is with local service ads. Hmm. And so you don't need to pay an agency for local service ads. There are like 3 nuances when you set that thing up. It takes 10 minutes. Dispute leads, check off the right practice areas, answer your phone calls, right? Otherwise, Google dings you. You need reviews. That's it. Very simple. 10 minutes to get leads from Google. And the way that Google, the reason they did this, just for some background, is agencies would set up Google ads, or Google people would set up Google ads, and you would just get put through the ringer. They would never work because there's so many nuances in Google ads, right? I've spent $60 million on Google ads. It's not just something, let's go in here, click a few buttons, we get leads. So they invented this entry-level product to get results so that when you're ready, you go spend money on Google ads. That's how Google monetizes. So local service ads was the answer to how can we have a non-agency set up a successful Google campaign. Mm-hmm. So what I tell lawyers is go set that up. When you close those leads, you can close any lead that comes from Google, SEO, pay-per-click, and then you can scale to multiple 7 figures on just that alone. So what I would tell people is if you're looking to get leads, that's the easiest way to do it. Hopefully that answered your question. What's the quickest way or what's the easiest way? But that's one of the things is get leads. You don't need too many of them. Get your feet wet, dip your toes in the Google waters. And then when you're having success, next level.
Yeah, no, I think that was perfect. I call it the puppy training method. I've got a puppy now, so I'm using a lot of puppy analogies. Yeah. But the puppy training method is they basically you train your puppy on the five basic skills, and you don't go to the harder skill until you master the easier skill. So you train them, and they have to do the easier skill five times in a row before you go to the next skill. And when you go to the next skill, if they get it three times or less, you got to go back down to the basic skill before you go back up again. And so that's just what you're talking about here, not comparing attorneys or law firm owners to puppies, but we are basically saying we have to master the basics, master the fundamentals, get that one skill set done. And that the first place for you to start was with LSAs because they're simple to set up. They're going to start generating you leads that work, and you can learn to convert those at a very low investment rate before you move on to the next issue. Michael, anything you want to add to that?
No, I think that was well said. And I think that's probably, to your point, Elliot, the low-hanging fruit, the easy place to start. And I also agree with what you said about if you can convert people that don't know and trust you yet, and you put the proper systems in place to convert those people, it's game over. At that point, it really just comes down to how quickly you want to scale, because then you've got the recipe. You've got the recipe down, and now you can move. I guess just what's got you excited? What's got you fired up today? Could be personal, could be business.
So I would say that what's got me fired up, I would say that just diving into the more data-driven approach. So we've always been very data-driven, tracking our clients' numbers and just knowing that if you just do these simple things, you'll have success. It doesn't have to be complicated. And so back to your point, Rich, about these people who are like, what do I do? Like, why is this so hard? There really is a light at the end of the tunnel. Is if you just track your numbers and you systematically attack them, which is what we like to do with our clients, it becomes very simple and the noise starts to just zone out, right? What is the one thing we can fix this week that's going to move the needle? And for some firms, that can double your business, just the one thing. And so that's what I love doing. Literally, I had a call yesterday. This firm is already closing really well. They went from, to your point, last year, this time they had 14 cases a month. They went to 50 and they're crushing it. We're like, this is awesome. But then we look at their data and their set rate is like 25%. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you guys are making this up because you're good salespeople, not attorney salespeople, by the way. But if we just go listen to some of these calls, what can happen? And so we see what's happening. Balls are being dropped. Some of the answering services that they're using are not doing what they should be doing. And I'm like, this is a super easy fix. We get this to 50%, 60% because they do paid things. You just doubled and you already 5X'd. What does that look like? So that gets me excited. That gets me pumped up when I see those tiny changes that can make such a big impact, not only for the firm owner, the employees, that everybody touches. When you go see a firm in person, because we're all virtual and 50 people in the room that work at the firm, you're like, wow, this is pretty cool. Like that change just kept on those people. Some businesses can go out. It's stressful for some of these people. So that's what gets me excited, honestly. I love the numbers and I just love diving into them.
You're speaking my language, brother. This is where we live. That's what we live and breathe. And any marketing agency that's willing to have this conversation with their clients and be able to take that honest look rather than go, you know what, I think you should just go buy this service from us where we can get you more leads because that's what you really need. And rather you look at their set rate and you go, hey, you're at 25%. Could you imagine if we can bump that to 50? What if they went to 70? What if they went to 80, right?
What if they hit KPI, right? If you get to just the service level, 70, 80, forget it. It's so fun to watch. But yeah, it's a blast to see.
This has been so much fun. If somebody wanted to learn more about Empirical 360, where would they go to do that? What's the best way for them to learn about you?
Yeah, you could hit our site. You could go to YouTube. Lots of videos talking about similar stuff like this. I think those are the two best places. So that would be where I start for sure.
Awesome. Michael?
Fantastic. Elliot, you guys are part of the rare few in the marketing agency field. So I appreciate you sharing your insight. Yes, absolutely. And to the law firm owners listening, thank you for taking the time to listen today. There was more than enough pieces of value to pull from today. So hopefully you were able to take something, but we appreciate you listening or watching. Make sure to hit that subscribe or follow button, depending on where you listen or watch. We enjoy making this content. We do this for you. So if this isn't your first time listening or watching around here, just hit that button, hit like, and then also let Elliot know if you got any questions down below or show some love at the very least, because this was super impactful. But Elliot, thank you for taking the time to be on today.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Elliot, totally appreciate you. And for all of you listening, you got to think to yourself, which lever are you going to pull next? So go find your lever. And that's today's pod.